And now, friends, it's time for us to pay a few bills. SongTrust is the world's largest technology solution for global music royalty collection and publishing administration, enabling 205,000-plus songwriters and more than 26,000 publishers to collect their publishing royalties worldwide for over 2 million copyrights. Be sure and visit songtrust.com/pubcast to take advantage of a 20% off discount for a one-time registration just for listening to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. And now, friends, let's get on with the show. My friends, welcome back to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. In this episode, we sit with Seth Mosley. First and foremost, a songwriter and producer, a Grammy and Dove winning one at that, but also owner of Full Circle Music, which is a publishing company, production company, and also an academy. So he's also an educator. He's also a host of Made It in Music podcast. The man has many titles. We're going to delve into those titles as well as talk about Christian music, the CCLI, and how to bridge the gap into other musical genres as well. Let's just start off on basics, Seth. Who are you and what do you do exactly? I know that's broad. You can nip that down in chunks.
Yeah, first things, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a believer, and I'm a songwriter before any of that. but then that has, my career as a songwriter and music producer has birthed a lot of opportunity for me to start a company called Full Circle Music, which is part publishing, it's a production company, and it's a publishing company as well. So kind of wear all of those hats, but then we have an academy arm as well. So the academy is all about providing resources for aspiring music makers who want to break into the business. And it's that simple.
Researching you was a task because there's so much that you do, and it's exciting to see that and see people giving back so much. I think I saw it quite often, and you yourself mentioned it, that you start with how can we serve something, you know? And I thought that was a brilliant way to put in what we do in music. Not just I too, believer and all that, but beyond that, just in the business we're in, it's a service industry, right? We're serving the writers, we're serving the artists, we're serving the listener specifically a lot as well. And that was a great phrase. I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, we always use this phrase of like serve your way to success. I think people start with the end in mind and often are thinking about, well, what can a relationship get me, or what can an opportunity get me, or how can I network my way in? But we always try to teach people that it's really just treat a relationship like a relationship. Don't treat it like an opportunity.
What I wanted to start with is, obviously you had your beginnings in the Christian world and continue to work in the
Christian world as well.
And so let's start there. Like one of the things I haven't done here yet, and why you and I were talking the other day and I wanted to sit with you was, I haven't had anybody in the Christian world on this podcast for the AIMP. And I think it's vital because it's interesting how Nashville is. As much as we've been known for country music, without a doubt, as long as I've been here, we've had an extremely huge infrastructure for the Christian market as well. Yeah. But yet we don't always interconnect as much.
Sure.
Till recently, I would say, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's walk through that. Like, as a Christian guy, where did your path start to broaden into more of the, what I guess I'd call it, the country market, but it's just the other market, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think it's just the convergence of all genres sort of mushing together. And, you know, I mean, what is country nowadays? It's kind of almost a catch-all genre for pop and Americana and rock, really. I think a lot of rock people, like musicians and guitar players, and even, you know, I think Devin Dawson was in like a hardcore band or something before.
Yes, he was.
So there's all this convergence of people that have landed in country. And really, what I think, this is my observation, is that I think country is just a label for people that care about good songwriting, regardless of what the sound is. And so with Christian music, that's very important. The songwriting is very important. It's all about what the lyric says. And so there's a lot of parallels between the two. So I would say that, you know, I grew up in church. I wasn't even allowed to listen to like secular music. It was a super strict Nazarene upbringing. But there was this sort of like Southern gospel world that was always around. You know, Ricky Skaggs was in that world, and Gaither Vocal Band, things like that, that was sort of a pseudo-Christian country. So that was kind of always around. But I did the artist thing for a while, signed a record deal with Warner, ended up figuring out after about 3 or 4 years of constant touring, that was not the life that I wanted for myself. Met my wife through it, which was the one redeeming winner factor. And I now have a great empathy for what I do now with other artists. But I got an opportunity to produce a band called Newsboys. The short story is that in 1995, they put out a record called Take Me to Your Leader. That was my first CD when I was a little kid. And then in 2009, my first label record that I produced and co-wrote 9 or 10 songs on was Newsboys Born Again. So it was this whole kind of full circle moment, hence the name for our company. And
That's where the name came from.
That is where the name came
from. Fantastic. I love when there's a tie-in.
Yeah.
Most names are not random, so to speak, but that's great. That's
fantastic. I think there's a lot in the name. So, you know, a lot of people have asked me, is it because it's Circleville, Ohio? That's where I'm from. I was like, actually, I didn't even think about that. But
Circles on everything.
Circles on everything. Yeah.
Well, let's start, because they are kind of different, and you have the great aspect of seeing both, but let's speak specifically onto the Christian side. You said, you got into it being a musician,
yeah.
But I am not as familiar, like, how to break in, what to do, what are some avenues, some young up-and-coming talent in that world? How is it best to get exposed and into that marketplace and get a deal and that kind of stuff? And how similar or different is that from what you're seeing on the other side?
I mean, there's some similarities. The big difference is just where it all kind of starts. The Christian market really centers around the church, whereas the country market maybe centers around your honky-tonks or whatever, you know? It's almost the venue where everybody kind of comes together and there's music, there's singing, dancing, depending on where you're at. but if you want to break into the Christian industry, I think that's where it starts. It's, you've got to be rooted in some kind of a local church, and whether you start leading worship at one of the churches, I mean, I think that's a huge part of it. That can turn into writing songs. A lot of churches nowadays are putting out their own records. But as far as coming down to Nashville and like getting a deal, it really is just like, it's the same exact things that the country labels look for. Do you have an audience? Do you have streaming numbers? Do you have social media numbers? And are you touring?
That's what I was curious, if they still use the same metrics. And it sounds like, yes, everybody uses the exact same. Yeah. Is it kind of still the same philosophy? I mean, if you're a touring act, that's one thing, because we always look for those kind of acts out in the marketplace that are building those audiences. But if you just say you wanted to be a pure writer or maybe a producer, is it still you need to be present to win philosophy on that side as well?
Like, as far as really, living in Nashville?
Yeah, like being with, at least within a realm or visiting?
I would say, nowadays, to be purely a songwriter with nothing else, I think you have to live in Nashville. I don't think there's another way, and I think you have to have another job. Like, I don't think there's a way to do it until you start getting some major hits and traction. The finances aren't there.
On your end, I'm very aware that one of the big things, obviously, you guys still do radio, terrestrial radio for Christian stations is huge, and you mentioned streaming, but I'm also super familiar with the CCLI, which if you can have a hit, if you'd like to explain that a little more for our, because again, a lot of our audience is new to this stuff. So.
Yeah, CCLI basically is much like CSAC or BMI. It's kind of the aggregator of performances from songs that you've written in churches worldwide. So every time one of those gets played in a church or led in a church, it gets attributed to the writer, and then the writer gets paid whatever share of the CCLI collections is. And yes, if you get a top 10 CCLI hit, that can be a very substantial, you can actually make probably more over the lifetime than a lot of country hits if you get a big CCLI song.
I have learned from my times of doing this and having a couple of Christian hits through my companies that, yes, the long tail is amazing, because I also play, and I never thought I would be the drummer in a Christian band, but my church has a praise band. So I start seeing the number of writers that you're, and some of them I'm friends with, and I've actually performed a song one of my writers has written at church, which is really
neat.
But you start going, you start adding up, this is played in how many churches across, and the congregations are what size? Wow, it's massive, and I don't think people really grasp how big that can be on a success financial level.
Yeah, but it's a hard thing to chase, because really when you boil it down, and like if you want to really get into the nuts and bolts of the business of it, there are about 12 writers that comprise the top, let's call it 50 songs on CCLI.
Yes.
I think that's a problem. I personally think that's a problem. I am friends with a lot of those writers. I think it's a great thing, but I at the same time think it's a way bigger world, and there's a lot more ways of expression. So again, that's not that different than country either. No. There's a handful of writers who are making probably the top 90% of the income.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
In the country space. So it's the same everywhere you look, but just casting an accurate reality that it's the same way.
So more specifically too, if I'm a new writer, I'm coming to town and I'm looking for a deal and I get approached by a public, what is the range that a new writer typically gets paid in that genre? Just a pure writer.
Yeah. If you're brand new, you're going to sign a 100% publishing deal. It's not going to be a co-pub deal, and your monthly advance may be anywhere from $800 a month to $1,200 a month. You know, you may be seeing $12,000 a year off your writer advances, and obviously, if you get some cuts and that does well, that can go up stair step. But you're not going to be starting with a big advance.
Is there anything else that you would note that would be intrinsically different in the deal or an approach to going into the Christian market that might be a little different than the country or outside market?
Production-wise, which I'm not sure how much you want to get into that because this is kind of a publishing conversation, but there are some differences on the production side if that would be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think the big difference is in the country world, you get handed kind of a producer advance, but then everything else kind of runs through label budget. So you may get, like we've found on some country records that we actually kind of can make more in the Christian world doing production because the producer fees, even at the top end, are smaller, which that's been interesting to me. Like why?
Really?
I don't know if country just hasn't necessarily adjusted or Christian hasn't adjusted or they just do things completely different. But yeah, you can do okay at the top end of the Christian world if you're a producer.
To break that down differently so you don't have to give up specific numbers necessarily, not like there's some secret sauce in some of this, but the album budgets, are album budgets bigger or are they about the same and just the producer gets paid a little more?
I think the producer gets paid, you basically get like kind of a full all-in budget.
Okay.
In the Christian, whereas in country, you might get, let's say, at the top end, $3,500 or $4,000 a song as a producer fee. That's a high producer fee in the country market.
That's an established producer or up, yeah.
Very established. But then players get paid usually at union scale.
Right.
They pay the engineers separately. They pay the editors separately. They pay all the other stuff separately. So the budget might be slightly bigger in the country. It's just it's the producer gets a little bit less of it, I think, which is fine. It's just, you know, it's all just
opening up a can of worms. I have a feeling some of my producer writers are going to start calling me about this. Like, how can I get into that market? And why are we not getting paid fairly?
Hey, well, you know what? And it's not everybody either. I mean, we've been doing it for 10 years in the Christian market. So we're literally at the top of what you can charge in that space, just because we have 27 number ones in that world. And you're able to do that.
Now, just speaking on not on the financial side, but on a production sonic artist side, but in general speaking, do you find that the musically it's kind of starting to blend? Like, is there something that is intrinsically different on the Christian side? Again, I know there's a ton of bands. There's heavy metal, there's popular side in that. But as a producer writer in both sides, how do you feel about it musically? Are you using the same samples? Are you finding different things? They're
actually not far off from each other. The only difference, this is going to sound really weird, but we always, you know, in the Christian business, it's sonically, you and we've been trying to be a part of changing this, but you always get associated with, oh, your music's 4 years behind or 8 years behind or whatever it is. Like, just take top 40 and then rewind it 4 years, and that's what Christian radio will sound
like.
Yeah,
we get that too, so it's all right.
I think country, and I say this just totally respectfully, but I think country's even been a year or two behind the Christian side of things.
Interesting.
Because a lot of what I'm hearing at country now, I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of what we would have done a couple of years ago on Christian radio. There are definitely differences, and it's not a better or worse thing. It's just trends, sonic trends. Like, country has started to really get into the 808 hi-hat thing. That was big for a minute with Christian. Like, big diamond guitars have kind of started to go away in country. Christian kind of got rid of a lot of guitars probably 3 years ago, and it's more synth and ethereal pads. And if there are guitars, they sound more like a pad. Live drums kind of have gone away a little bit on the Christian side, and on country, you know, I think it's kind of coming back around again, but It's the one big similarity between the two, though, sonically, is I do think it's that there's got to be some feeling of, even if it's programmed, it has to feel like a real instrument.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective, being that you're in both worlds. I think everybody tries to be cutting edge, but it's not always necessarily cutting edge.
Well, you're serving a format.
Having started off in the Christian market and starting to broaden, and like I know you did, we worked with High Valley and produced that record, and I know that you're writing with some of my writers. What did that? I'm assuming it was kind of a natural progression for you. Was it something you said, you know what, I want to get into that, or did it just sort of happen for you?
Well, the High Valley thing was really organic. I think we met the real story is we met in a hot tub in Washington.
Wow, that's a whole interesting story right there. Okay.
That's the real story. We were on a writing retreat. We didn't even write on that trip, but we just ended up hanging out. And then I think their manager at the time said, hey, you should try having Seth produce something. They were looking for just something different. You know, they had been having some success in the Canadian market, but kind of wanted to shake things up a little bit. So we produced a single for them that did well. That ended up turning into a writing relationship. That ended up turning into a whole production relationship. And yeah, long story short, I mean, this is 4 or 5 years later, or 6 years later. Obviously, they're signed here to Warner now. And that kind of sort of opened our eyes to this whole other world of, you know, it's not that we didn't know it was there. It was just, you don't try to pound on a door that doesn't, you know, that's not going to open. So
I found like there's a handful now, and it's all been a very natural, like you said, organic. I guess I'd use the word organic kind of approach. My good friend Janine started working at Curb Word, and then Justin Ebox over there, and she just fell in love with what he was doing. Started introducing him into this market, and back. I mean, the guy's crushing it now.
Yeah,
and then my friend Rusty at This Music worked signed Chris Stevens, who then started doing more, who came out of that world as well. There's a number of people that we're finding talent, and like, well, why wouldn't we expand that? And I know that's probably how that started working with you. It's like something happens and then you start working, because again, at the end of the day, songs are songs.
Yeah.
The key is, I think you're touched on it on the production side, is knowing the market you're serving. You know, the language is going to be a little different lyrically. And then there are some 1-4-5 things that
right.
you might need to kind of learn on chord progressions on
sure.
what we do and all that. But have you found it, I guess difficult is probably the wrong word. What are some things you've picked up along the way that have been helpful for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a season of learning. You know, like many country writers in town, I didn't grow up in Georgia. I don't necessarily have the vernacular of being a farmer. You know, I mean, we had cornfields across from our house and we had all that. So part of it is that just wanting to surround myself with writers who are immersed and have immersed themselves in that culture, in the country lyric. I think just the way country lyric writing is approached is inherently a little bit different. So that's been, I feel like I've learned a ton, and I'm still learning every day just how to turn phrases better and how to, you know, simplify things and interesting rhyme schemes that you might not do in the Christian world. There's a lot more words too. That's the other thing I've found, like, especially with, like, if you're writing worship stuff, it's very repetitive. You may say one phrase over and over again, hold notes out really long. Country is all about this rapid fire. Like, how many words can you fit into a chorus? You know?
We get paid by the word.
You get paid for the word. Exactly.
That's how it goes. Yeah. We have our moments of going back and forth on that. We're not letting things breathe as much currently. They like to, but it's all about the story and the moment and our market for sure. And I've realized that as well from my time of sitting behind the kid at church and playing and saying, okay, but it's meditative, I've learned, and worshipful. It's a little different approach for sure.
It's a different emotion, yeah. People aren't necessarily listening to worship music for the story. It's a mood. It's an atmosphere.
So I have a real life an example and something I thought I'd bring up. I have from my church, there's a young lady that she writes, and she's really good. She's a singer. She's very talented. But she came to me with a question, and I answered it the best I could for me, but I'd be curious your take without giving my opinion yet. But she writes country. She came, and she had a project she put together, but she's learned and started writing. Some of her stuff started leaning more onto the Christian side. And she came to me, and she goes, I don't know what to do. People had told me I need to pick a lane. And I've learned I've gotten that more. And sometimes in my world, it's like pop or country. What should I do? What should I do? So I was curious what your take would be if somebody came up to you and go, I'm kind of doing both. Help me out. What would be your advice here?
Man, I kind of, this is my analogy, because it is a great question and one that every new writer should be asking, because I do think it's really important. But in the beginning, I think it's kind of impossible to know. Like, you kind of have to look at it like a two-ended funnel, I think. Like, you start really wide and then you maybe start to narrow it down once you, maybe you get one cut, and that's the thing of like, okay, well, this person liked that, maybe I do more of that. Or maybe you get a song that starts getting played in churches or whatever, and then, okay, well, maybe I hone in on that. So I think it's just more following momentum and then really like laser focusing in on that once you figure out what that thing is. And then once you've kind of mastered that, which, you know, that can take years, you can kind of start branching out from there.
At some point, you do have to sort of narrow it to get good at a skill set.
Yeah.
And whether it be in the Christian market or it be in the pop or the country or whatever, again, you can play in each field, but to be successful, I do think at some point you kind of have to lay a stake and go, okay, yeah, here's where I'm going.
Yeah.
And work that into the successes and the momentum, and then you can broaden out again, yeah, if you need to, right?
Well, from there, it's a numbers game. It's just, you know, as I just had coffee with Rusty Gaston a couple of weeks ago, you brought his name up, and he's like, well, it's not a numbers game, but it's a numbers game. And I think you only achieve some level of mastery in an area by just drilling it over and over and over and over again.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Seth. This has been awesome. I can't wait to get this out there to everybody to hear.
Yeah. So just as a thank you for having me on the show, I love the show, by the way. I am a listener. I've subscribed to it. Highly recommend everybody who's listening, if they haven't already, subscribe, leave a rating and review. And then the last thing I would say, just as a thank you to you for having me and to your audience, is we always say to never show up empty-handed, to always bring a gift. So our gift is a free songwriting course. For anybody that's interested, they can get that at fullcirclemusic.com/songwriting. And that basically just breaks down some of my most basic thoughts on how to craft hit commercial songs, regardless of what genre you're in. So that's fullcirclemusic.com/songwriting if your audience wants to get that for free.
Hey, thanks for listening to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. We hope you subscribe in your favorite podcast platform and follow us at AIMP Nashville to stay up to date and informed in the world of music publishing and songwriting. The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is created by executive producers Del Bobo and yours truly, Tim Hunzi, producer Brandon Harrington, mixing and editing by Casey Porter. Thanks again for listening and supporting the AIMP Nashville Pubcast.